Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 258. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? This week I'm recording out of a new studio. So I've been bouncing around finding right spots to find the right acoustics, and I think I found the right one. Recording at Tech Girl Studios this week, so it's kind of weird. Again, just playing with acoustics and sound and what the depth is of where everything is at and sound bouncing off of each other. I think I finally got it. I think I might be a little loud, so if I am loud this week, just on your listening device, whatever it might be, just put it a little bit lower. Hopefully that helps out. You guys are probably going to hear cars or motorcycles like that, but fuck it, it's a new studio, so let's rock it. All right, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 158, Adam and I entitled hashtag Gangsta Rabbis. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain are finally back, where we play catch up and hit NFL talk, football talk, and week 3 predictions. Then go into what the fuck news. Teen allegedly sets fire to car she thought was her ex-boyfriend's. I love those stories. They just crack me up. Seeking escape from wife. Kansas man robs bank to go to jail. I love this dude. I mean, we would all do the same thing, right? His life is so bad, he would rather go to jail than spend time with his wife. That's just fucking hilarious. We hit Jesus shitless. Rabbi arrested in a New York divorce scheme involving kidnapping and murder. Then barrel row into sex facts. 8 facts that will make you realize how strange animal sex really is. I forget what that article was. The gangster rabbis, I kind of do remember. I think we had fun with this one just because the first 2-3 topics were pretty funny, even to me now. Then hit some comic talk, comic news, Mythbusters lands Netflix show, Stan Lee, Fox movie to be made. And there is talks about that even more now. X-Men Inhumans go to war in Death of X and new She-Hulk Hulk ongoing. Then rock some comic reviews. Supergirl number 1, Green Lanterns number 6, Uncanny X-Men. I didn't write down the number of that one even back then, apparently. Civil War 2, Spider-Man number 8, Batman number 6. So this is literally when Tom King had just taken over Batman. And the first arc I didn't like, so I think by the second arc I was liking it. It's with Gotham Girl and her brother, and eventually turned into I Am Bane. And it's an ongoing arc and story that Tom King has been telling, but real dope that I still love it now, and even though we're going to wrap that up soon. And I'll go into that in comic talk. All-Star Batman number 2, which was written by Scott Snyder, and I believe JRJR, John Romita Jr., was doing those ones, his art, on that, and it was a dope fucking story, and it was like a crossroads fucking story where it was just a great fucking story. And if you guys want to listen to that interview, we did interview Scott Snyder about that. Go back and listen to that. Find that episode. All right, bullet points this week. Short and sweet for the most part. First of all, number 1, before anything, shout out to the 2OC boys. Their contest giveaway, they've had one going on. I believe one of our listeners won, which is great. The 2OC boys, I don't believe they put out their 100 yet, but congratulations, guys. You guys are dope. You guys are rad. I listen to you guys every week. And just supporting you guys is great. It's like watching you guys grow little by little has been dope. And to help you guys out and to have you on our show, on this show, and to have you – or to for you guys to have me on your show is dope. So, I mean, that we can collaborate like that. And, you know, it's still the beginning of collaboration. I know we're not going to go anywhere, although someone might have disappeared. Nah, dude, I own fucking everything, so – once I own something, I'm not going to let go of it. So I'm going to put it to use, but it just means more work for me, which fuck it. I mean, what else is new? Next one's going to be, I guess I wrote this or started writing this up when I was working a second job last week and just rated our movies in general. And is it something I want to go into? Probably not. It's an interesting story, but just too much of a long fucking winded story. All right, guys, we had to look pretty this week for The Office. I'm just going to catch you up real quick. So last 3 days, I'm recording Thursday, the 6th, 7th, 8th is what we had to dress. Today's Thursday, the whatever date it is, and it's actually the 6th, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So it's just a pain in the ass. These company visits are always just a pain. And we couldn't have our phones out. We couldn't listen to podcasts, music, anything. And so I love my coworkers, but it gives us more of an opportunity to have a conversation. And I loved shooting the shit with these guys anyways. But it was a week where we literally were forced to talk to each other. I learned a little bit of French this week, which is interesting. I suck at it, but like to catch things here and there. And executive producer Victoria has been, she's my sensei, my fucking French teacher sensei, which is awesome. I think I'm getting words and phrases down here and there and how to use things. It's just the verbiage I'm getting, trying to get used to. But I've been seeing things where it's like, okay, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes absolutely no sense. But it's been cool. So I've learned some cool phrases that I'm not going to go into. But I'm just pretty fucking dope. All right, that's all I got. It's been an interesting week. We finally get to go back to regular fucking chill fucking dress mode tomorrow, which is dope. All right, guys, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe, rate us, share the podcast more than anything with like-minded individuals. I have a weird show, but it's going to be pretty cool. All right, guys, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. Well, this is interesting with this new studio. I get to see Amazon packages getting dropped off as is in real time. I'm normally locked up in a room, and essentially I kind of am now, but there's a window where I actually get to see the in and out portion. I don't know, and it weird. Kind of threw me off a bit in between segments there. All right, guys, first piece of news I'm going to hit is Mattel and Blumhouse team for live-action Magic 8 Ball movie. All right, Mattel I love, so He-Man Masters of the Universe. And Blumhouse. Now, Blumhouse I do love as a production company, and that team is dope, but it's more of a horror genre-based production company. So I guess it could work. I'm always a big protractor for if it's written properly. If it's done properly, then I'm all for it. Give me a good, compelling story, and I'm all for it. And even with that, like, I know a lot of people don't like scary movies or horror movies. I love the fuck out of horror movies. Like, I grew up with horror movies. At, you know, at 4 years old, I'm watching movies I shouldn't have been watching. And even with that, I have an appreciation for gory movies. Like, watching Nightmare on Elm Street at, like, 4 or 5 years old is not good. Watching, you know, Exorcist at that age is not good. Before going to, you know, on a family drive as a kid to Texas, you know, or to San Antonio where my dad lives, you know, watching him putting on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre for us. Gory. I'm a fan of horror movies and horror genre. And give me practical effects. Give me cheesy. Give me jump scares. Give me everything. Give me even CGI sometimes if it's done properly. I'm just a nut for even C, terrible C, D horror movies I have an appreciation for, but I'm that weird guy. So if it works, I think they could pull it off. Blumhouse, if they're going to be behind it, I think they can do it. Just give me a good movie. Next one is going to be Jurassic World Camp. Cretaceous animated series roars at Netflix. So this is going to come out. It's going to be an animated series for Netflix, and it's going to drop in 2020. It's going to be executive produced by Steven Spielberg still. It is his baby, so that's going to be a thing. Next one is going to be very interesting because this is more comic book based, but this is comic talk, comic news. Report, Quentin Tarantino developing a Django and Zorro crossover film. While it is currently unknown what role Tarantino might have in Django, Zorro, and that's one of his few movies I haven't seen. I want to say that's the only Quentin Tarantino movie I haven't seen. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood drops in a few weeks. I have that in my summer movie draft, but I'm a fan of his as a director and his writing style. I do appreciate. So anyways, this one... So he's been vocal about retiring, but since the forthcoming Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it is his ninth film, it's unclear if he would want his alleged final film to be Django Zorro. However, the director has produced several projects that he has not directed. And he said he wanted to end or go into retirement after his tenth film. So, that's interesting news. I'm kind of curious. But that means I also got to watch Django, which everyone tells me is a great movie. I should put up a Twitter poll. What is your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie? And I'm just going to list three random movies just to see where people stand. Is it Pulp Fiction? Is it Reservoir Dogs? Those are top ones. Anyone's? And you know what? I'm going to toss an Inglourious Bastards in there too. Those are my top three. Anyways, let's see. Bomb 25. Set explosion leaves crew member injured. Daniel Craig had got injured, jacked up his ankle, which he's going to need surgery for soon. And yeah, there was a controlled explosion that had gone wrong on the set. And one of the crew members was injured, and the set was also destroyed or damaged. Homeboy is okay, but that just fucking sucks to happen on the set. I should deep dive that one by myself. Things that have happened on movie sets and, you know, casualties. And it's sad to say, but, like, I have a bunch of gnarly stories. Anyways, we'll save for another day. Punky Brewster sequel in the works, which is... interesting. Punky Brewster sequel in the works, Soleil Moon Frye to star. UCP is working on a modern day follow up to Punky Brewster with Soleil Moon Frye set to reprise that title role. Okay, being a kid of the 80s, I kind of grew up with this. So it was a little girl that her mom ditched her in a shopping mall, and she was a street rat. She was fucking Aladdin. Like, she was with her dog, fucking Jameson. Georgie. But she ends up moving into or, like, shacking up an apartment complex. And this old man kind of gets a liking for her, and he adopts her. It was a good show for the 80s. And saying that is weird, because they kind of reimagined or recontinued the Karate Kid world with Cobra Kai that I love the fuck out of. So if it's done properly, like I feel that one is, where the writers give a shit about the characters and the world and the mythos and gives it its respect and they are able to have fun with it, it could work. Is it something I want to see? She's fucking hot now, so you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing Soleil Moon Frye on TV again. But yeah, I don't know. I don't watch TV anyway, so that's coming from the guy that doesn't watch TV. Here are some bummer news. Deadly Class and Happy canceled at Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi has canceled its two Image Comics adaptations, Happy and Deadly Class, with both series currently looking for a new network. So even though they did not get renewed for a second season, the network is shopping them around to other networks, and hopefully they get picked up. It was a show I was watching. It's a show I enjoyed. It was a gnarly trip, but that's Rick Remender's world, and he's got an interesting take. Like, his Tokyo Ghost is insanely good, and I think that would fit in with today's society and people being so self-absorbed in their phones, you know, and it's like, it's a weird thing, or media and just, like, being on my phone and social media and, too much TV. I try to stay off of that. I just record once a week, and I'm cool putting it out into the ether. So interesting. I hope it does get picked up. Weird one is going to be Entertainment Weekly, the news magazine, is going to convert to a monthly schedule. It's a weird brick-and-mortar type situation, the way of the magazine, the way of the newspaper is the old style, and it's going wayside. I mean, it has been going wayside. Everyone has seen it for the longest time, but I thought that was interesting. Next one is going to be, let's do hit Marvel, Disney real quick. The New Mutants reshoots still haven't happened. It's one of those movies that is on our summer movie draft. And Carl owns that one, and it's a movie I wanted to purchase. He thought I was going to go hard on it, which I want to watch it. I'm going to pay for it opening weekend. The Phoenix drops this weekend, and it's a movie I don't want to see. I don't care to see. I'd rather pay for New Mutants that's going to be more obscure with characters people don't know, but that I know, that I care about. I care about mutants. I care about the X-Men world. Again, the mutants. But the movies have been really bad. And even though I love Fassbender and McAvoy as Professor X and Magneto properly, it's just not a movie I'm into. All right, next one's going to be Dark Phoenix. There you go. Box office tracking for franchise worst opening weekend. Dark Phoenix, the latest installment of Fox's X-Men series, is tracking to have the worst opening weekend in the franchise history. $50 is going to make $50 million is what it's expected or projected to make. The worst one that has made the least amount so far has been The Wolverine, which made $53.1 million for opening weekend. Carl will still make his money, or whoever has this movie will make their money back. But it's just something I don't care to watch. Next one's going to be report John Wick's Keanu Reeves in talks for Eternals role. Eternals is a Marvel product, and it's more, I don't want to say godlike beings, but more ethereal beings like that. So celestials and stuff that people don't know about. I'm curious. And they already have Angelina Jolie set as a role. I dig on Marvel's casting. Angelina Jolie can act. Just very curious to see how they pull off the Eternals, if they're going to go that more, not even mystical, but more ethereal aspect of it, which is a weird thing to say. All right, this one is going to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse heads to Netflix next month. So on June 26th, anyone that has Netflix, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's fucking dope. It's rad. Definitely check it out. All right, we're going to hit Spider-Man Far From Home box office forecast predicts a strong opening. Yeah, I mean, you figure after Avengers Endgame, everyone wants to see what the fuck's going to happen next. And this is going to bookend pretty much Phase 4 of the Marvel Universe. And where is it going to go from here? All right, this one's still on Disney, I guess. Disney may end Georgia production over abortion law. So that's a thing that's been going on. And I try not to ever touch on any of the podcasts I have. So Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, which is still going to go on fucking strong. And even the Audio Chronicles, which I'm lining up a bunch of fucking interviews for. I'm working behind the scenes. I'm fucking completely always up to something. But in saying that, in any of those podcasts, I never want to go too religious centric or political centric. Like, it's just something I want to stay away from. So my ideals and beliefs are my ideals and my beliefs, and it's something I shouldn't force on anyone. So I don't want to use the stage as a platform to ever do that. But this is an interesting thing that Disney is going to end production if that law passes in Georgia. Now, the weird thing about that, or good thing about it, I mean, look at it this way. Georgia has this income tax law. That's why so many movies and production companies are posted up in Atlanta, Georgia, because of it's kind of cheap to make a movie or film or shoot out there. And yeah, how do you feel about it? Like, I don't want to shove anything down your throat. Who's right? Who's wrong? We can all have our opinions, but I'm on Disney's fucking roster behind this one. AMC, The Walking Dead, films out there as well, they said the same thing. Like, we're going to halt production on everything. We're going to find a new home. So if Georgia, if Atlanta is the spot where every production company goes to, and Warner Brothers, home of our Batman and, you know, DC movies and products, if they move to, where are they going to move to? I don't know, just the production in general. Like, that's the bigger picture behind that. But even the bigger picture on how do you guys feel about this law? So I kind of think it's cool that they're doing that. Again, my personal opinion. Ah, that's the most fucking political I think I've gotten. Marvel debuts Seminal Moments documentary series. So if you guys look online, anywhere really, just type in Marvel Seminal Moments, and it's been highlighting different X-Men moments throughout the years. And the last one that came out this week was Age of Apocalypse, which I... It, I'm a kid of the 90s, so it was my freshman year. So knowing the world of Age of Apocalypse, I'm like, fuck, this was dope. This is great writing, and the art is fucking amazing, and I can't believe they're ballsy enough to do this shit. It's worth checking out. All right, Greg Capullo joins Todd McFarlane to illustrate Spawn 300. I love Greg Capullo. I want to talk about him today. The 300th issue of Spawn will see creator Todd McFarlane joined by a number of collaborators, including the return of the series' longtime artist, Greg Capullo. Capullo will provide the artwork for the landmark issue's main story, which will be written by McFarlane. A 72-page special issue, which is structured as a tribute to the history of the character, features contributions from other creators as well. So really dope. Let's see, artist Jason Sean Alexander, J. Scott Campbell, artist Jerome Olpena, and writer Scott Snyder are going to be involved in that as well. Great artists, so to see their renditions of Spawn would be interesting. All right, that's all I have. I have a feeling this review is going to be long, so I'm going to try to make it as short, as sweet as possible. This dropped last week. It is a DC comic title, but it was dope. So this is DC comic proper, but just to start it off, premise everything, this is going to be a DC Black Label production. And I know that sounds odd. A lot of people don't know what that means. So DC Comics, yes, under the DC Comics banner, they started their Black Label. So it's DC Black Label. And these stores are not kid-friendly. Like one of the Batman stores that happened, one of the first ones that came out a few months ago. I didn't feel it was worth talking about because everyone was talking about it. When Homeboy drew an outline, outline, and even the package, like Bruce Wayne's package, he got out of his cowl, he jumped in the shower, or got out of the shower, and he drew his fucking cock. That was a big thing a few months ago. Didn't think it was worth hitting. It's this Black Label. So this is another one of those comics that is under that banner. Some of the titles are going to be very graphic and extreme. There's going to be a Joker 3, the 3 Joker story, which is going to come out soon. Jeff Johns is writing that, and I believe Jason Fabok is going to be the artist. But it's going to be a story written by Jeff Johns, and Homeboy is a sick-ass writer. So if he pulls that off. So again, the Black Label is more harsher. Some of the stories are going to be in continuity. Like I believe Batman White Knight is definitely not continuity, but it's under the Black DC Black Label banner. So darker stories that are not in canon. This story, it kind of feels like it is canon, and I believe this is one of the stories that is in canon. And in saying that, this is going to be my review of Batman Last Night on Earth. So literally, last night, going to work. Not the last El Mundo, but the last night. Fighter, let's put the gear on and let's go to work. Scott Snyder is the writer. Love his work. Greg Capullo is the artist. FCO Placentia is the inker. Starts off with part one. The cave, with a quick narration and inner monologue from Alfred. A trip out on Alfred, briefly chronicling their adventures together. And during this whole time, it's great because the opening sequence, page, panel, is going to be a man, and it's Batman, drawing with a piece of chalk. And that's the first panel. Next panel is what's going on. And Greg Capullo, the way the structure, the panel structure breakdown, is just dope. When artists get that creative, like, fuck, this is dope. Like, this is rad. Like, you appreciate the small things, and I love the fuck out of Greg Capullo. Pull up Greg Capullo art. If you guys don't know his art, pull up your favorite fucking character. He's drawn for just about every company. So Marvel, look up X-Force, New Mutants, Wolverine. Spawn, pull up Spawn from Image. Pull up some work from, pull up Batman from fucking DC. Anything that, it's just gorgeous. So it's really cool just to see, again, the structure breakdown. As he's somewhat arguing now with Bruce, and we see Batman's current reaction to this case he's working on. Again, chalk outlines. The real big baddie or major threat has yet to be seen, and that's the case for 1 year now. This has been going on for 1 year. So every day for one solid year. And this is legit what happens. From the start, though, Alfred says, something about this case felt different. I'll tell you a secret about him. About Batman. You see where he feels alarm? is in his scar tissue. A grim warning system carved into his body. Keloid hypertrophic scars. I often feel responsible for. This is going to be interesting. Just the inner monologue alone. As we see what this particular case is now. And it is again. 363 days in a row. Someone had drawn a chalk line across a different random 5-foot stretch of Gotham. Or after using his satellite, Bruce Batman finally sees exactly what the figure is. And the figure, after 363 days, Batman on the job, literally outlining everything, is a dead Batman sprawled on the ground as he sees this with his satellite in Gotham, where the heart, where it would be anatomically correct, Batman finds and is exactly realizes exactly where, Crime Alley is located. As he finally arrives now, he sees this figure huddled over in the pouring rain, holding an umbrella. Batman slowly walks up to the boy. "Hello, son. Are you hurt?" "Young man." As Alfred says, "Sir, please be careful. Something about this." Batman says, "I know, Alfred. Son, I'm going to take a look at you, okay? Just to make sure you're all right. Don't be afraid. I'm here to help." My God. As we, like, this corpse of a young boy that's been propped up and is some sort of booby trap. And I know it sounds weird. It's set up and propped up with some sort of mechanism that is triggered. Where it now looks like this weird, again, arm mechanism. Like this way this kid, this corpse of a kid, 10-year-old kid, is propped up. Triggers his arm to go up and literally looks like it shoots Batman at point blank range. Next panel we see is all in white now, as we see Bruce wake up finally, and he's in this full body restraint, as it looks like he's a patient now at an insane asylum, a mental institute, so same thing for the moment, where his doctor now appears to be and has characteristics and similarities, I guess, to the Joker, as we get a gnarly dialogue coming from the doctor. "Take it easy, Bruce. Everything will come back to you. In fact, this is the first in many years you're not being tricked, Bruce." As he explains his family and pharmaceutical branch. And I'll go into his family. His family and pharmaceutical branch helped create a new medicine for Bruce. As he introduces himself as, "Hi, my name is Redman Hood." If you guys know Red Hood and the Outlaws, or even just the Red Hood gang, Redman Hood, as he welcomes him now. Bruce to Arkham Asylum, and Bruce starts freaking balls now, and he's in this gurney, but he's again chained up, shackled up, like it's fucked up. As Bruce starts freaking out, he sees that he happens to get a visitor now from someone that's been waiting for him for a long time, and it happens to be Alfred. As we get now some really twisted dialogue from Alfred alone now. "I will, my boy." He's like, "Get me out of here now." "I will, my boy. I will. I promise I'll take you home as soon as I can. I want you to know, as the first thing you understand while you emerge from this long nightmare, that you are forgiven. No one blames you, Bruce. No one. Not the city, and certainly not me. Ever. Never me. Everyone knows you weren't in your right mind those years ago when you did what you did." So this nightmarish, and again, it feels really weird and really twisted and really not right. The way Greg Capullo, first of all, draws it, but the way Scott Snyder is writing it, and the dialogue and the inner monologues are good, are beautiful. It's like a 70-page comic, guys. It's worth checking out. It came out last week. I'm not going to ruin everything because I want you guys to check it out if it sounds interesting. So now, again, we see this nightmarish scenario kind of gets worse now as Alfred tells him what he did. He's like, "But you killed your parents in the alley." And Bruce now, and again, no costume whatsoever, he's shackled up to a gurney in restraints, full body restraints. As we now see his physical therapist, we see everyone that's been helping him out. We see Nygma. We see Professor Harley Quinn. So we see everyone. And Alfred continues, "They try day in and day out. All you do is cast them as villains. in this bloody stage drama in your head that you call Batman. But the truth is, you're not Batman, Bruce. And Dr. Hood is not the Joker. And just please, for the love of God, tell me you see now. You've been lost in the dark a long time. Your eyes just need to adjust. That's all. As we see now, like, that's where the scene ends, and Bruce Wayne is now in his padded cell, and we see what his knights are there, looking for any clues in the dark now, like, going through each section of the padded room, of the padded cell, of the padded walls, looking for clues, any type of clue, and he finally finds a tear in one of the pieces, the sections of the padded wall, only to find a penny. And a small T-Rex dinosaur. And we see him lose it again, like just pissed off. And then we get a voiceover. It pains me to see you this way, sir. Pains us all truly more than you can imagine. Again, the art visuals compared to the way it's written is gorgeous. As Alfred is explaining everything to him now. And now even sympathizing. And giving Bruce his cowl back the next day. He's like, this is, you want your... I thought I'd give this to you. Like, the Dr. Hood doesn't want me. He doesn't think it's going to help you. But I kind of think it would help you. And he's like, this is your cowl. And it's really fucked and twisted to see this. Like, it's this straight jacket, leather strap, and, like, shock therapy helmet restraint. It's weird to see. But the art of this quote-unquote cowl and cape outfit is gnarly because it's Batman-ish, but it's like, no, you've been fucked up for a while, dude. You're not right in your fucking head. And it's really kind of cool, though, to see again how twisted Bruce really is and how much of a crutch and reliance he has had on Batman and the suit for the longest time. So many things you can get out of this, and it's really fucking dope. Part two is the right hand. But even in saying that, this is part two. It's also very sick to see Batman go to work. So Alfred left it with him, where he's like, I'm going to keep this. As the panel now, and scene breakdowns are dope. And this is what it says. In less than 5 minutes, he's made it to the third floor. So he tosses on this quote-unquote makeshift bat fucking suit. He's made it to the third floor. In seven, he's on the fifth. The police arrive as he's reaching ninth. As he's suiting up, grabbing things off of the guards and everyone, the cops that are there. Things that might help him out. Especially, again, this sick-looking fucking suit and the way Greg Capullo draws it. You know what? Pull up this fucking comic if you guys don't believe me, dude. Black Man. Whoa, Batman. the Last Knight on Earth. Wowzers. That was crazy. All right. Hopefully you guys got a chuckle out of that one. So it's really cool, especially in this killer suit. And we see him now on the 12th floor confronting the person who put him there. As we get an odd explanation of things. He's like, why? Because there's nothing left for you, my boy. Do you want the truth? Beyond this window, there's nothing. What do you mean, nothing? No Gotham. No friends. No world. It's all gone. So I failed. Please, Bruce, don't you see? You're finally free. That's why I made this for you. As Batman now assesses things and grabs Alfred. And it's weird because Alfred put him in this state, in this place, because the world right now is so far gone. And I want to say it's almost a dystopian future. And it's definitely a futuristic title without being futuristic. Futuristic dystopian. Think of Detroit, I guess. I mean, it's terrible to say. So Alfred was pulling these strings the whole fucking time. Like, there's nothing for you out there. Like, the world's so fucked up. Like, I wanted to keep you safe. I wanted to keep you happy. Like, I had to give you something because you can finally be Bruce Wayne. There's no job for you to go back to anymore. Like, Batman's fucking gone. The heroes have gotten their ass kicked. And I'll go into that. Like, that's why I made this for you. So again, as Batman grabs Alfred now, like, he's like, please don't. And it is Alfred, but he was using like a holographic projection to make himself look a lot younger. And Bruce even trips out. He's like, and you can see how old and how aged Alfred has gotten. And Bruce is like, "Why? But why am I good though? Like, I don't feel aged. I still feel strong." And he explains exactly what happened. So he's like, "You woke up 2 years too early." And as Batman makes his choice now to leave Alfred and figure out what's going on. So again, he told him nothing's out there. Part three is the asylum, traveling to Coast City now for 2 days, as we say. Oh my gosh, I didn't even go the last part of that. He goes traveling now. So he enters, and the next part is Batman now wakes up in like a sandstorm, and he's now traveling from this place, and again dystopian, to through this sandstorm, where he comes across a ding 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 some bell, and he finally wipes off this fucking bell thing, and it happens to be the Joker's head in a glass jar, bubble, window, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty dope. The eyes open and the Joker starts talking to Bruce. He's like, "I haven't seen you in the longest time. What the fuck? I've missed you. You finally came to save me." It's a weird fucking story, but it's a nightmare fucking story, which is really fucking weird, because great Capullo. Scott Snyder can write creepy, and I'll go into some creepy titles if you guys like creepy. He has tried creepy before, so now it's weird, because it's a weird lone wolf and cub type story where Batman shackles on this bell, this Joker in a glass bubble, shackles it onto his back, and it's like, "All right, you're gonna tell me what happened." As the first place they go to is going to be Coast City now, and they get there in 2 days. And again, the relationship they both have is interesting, and the conversations they have, and they're witty, and it's Joker being Joker, just bodiless. But it's just interesting and dark, the conversations they have. So they go to Coast City, where Joker tells a story of what happened with the Green Lanterns. Like, they all fell. They all got wiped out, as we see the first confrontation now. And it's a bunch of almost zombie people controlling, using Green Lantern rings, because the lanterns got wiped out. And once they got wiped out, all the lantern rings fell to the ground, and everyone that was in vicinity picked it up. So that's what happened. That's the first one, and that's the first encounter they have, where they do have a quick scrap until they're finally picked up and saved by Poison Ivy. She takes them to their part of the world, or their crew, where he gets more information. Part four is going to be the echolocation, where he finally meets the crew and the woman behind it, or in charge. And he's like, "Diana, thank God. Please tell me who did this. Who killed the world?" "Bruce, you did. We lost. It's over. What matters now is you can help us protect them." So she tells him that someone, she's like, "You're telling him the whole time, like, you're a ghost now. Like, we thought you were dead. You shouldn't even be alive now. Like, the world doesn't need you. Like, you're a ghost." And she's like, "Omega is the one who came from, and he was spawned out of Gotham City. And he became powerful. And even before that, Lex Luthor was involved, and he had the people revolt finally, like rage against the system, rage against the machine type of deal, and where they overtook the superheroes." And it's an interesting story, and I don't know, the mob mentality, I guess, is an interesting way to look at it, which I love the fuck out of it. So she's like, "We need help. Like, we have to live underground. We need your help. Like, they need another superhero to look up to, especially down here, because we're going to live underground." And she ends up walking him over. She's like, "Out of everything, though, even though I thought you were dead, I still saved your stuff." And she has his outfit, and she kind of doesn't give him a choice. She really thinks he's going to go with them to help protect them. And it's really just cool, where he is completely given this choice on his own now. And there's this conversation he has with this young kid, and it's really adorable. Like, he's like, "You're him, huh? Can you see in the dark?" And he's like, "What do you mean?" they say you're a bat, so like bats see in the dark, right? And it's just a really cute conversation that this kid, I don't want to say inspires Bruce to go to work. It's just Bruce knowing he needs to go to fucking work. He goes to work and he gets suited up. It's dope. That's pretty much just where it ends. It's a great fucking title. It's a great read. It's a solid. It's a fluid read. And the art is amazing. Great. Capullo's always fucking sick. Scott Snyder's always fucking dope on everything he writes. If you guys like horror, try picking up The Wake is dope. American Vampire, which is Severed. He didn't. Even his New 52 Swamp Thing run was fucking dope. And those are like more of the horror-ish vibe stories. But they're all great. I love this title. It's great. It came out last week. So if you guys are interested, it's going to be Batman, The Last Knight on Earth, number one. All right, guys. That's all I got this week. Share the podcast more than anything. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Again, hopefully the recording and sound volume wasn't too crazy or too terrible for you. Batman, Last Knight on Earth, number one. Check it out, guys. All right, I'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
What's up, guys? This is Shola Mighty the Wenya, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai. This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!